Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. Ashley Bastock coming up in about 20 minutes here. We continue to take stock of the Shahaters and the Shapporters. I think, and it is just easier to say. Shah-supporters is just, there's too many, there's like, you can't have like a comma in there, right?
Yeah, I'm glad we got there.
We landed the plane. I think that's what matters. But I think we should all be a little worried about our guy, Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
And I want to shout out Jake Murren for pointing this out to us in the pre-show. We're gonna play a couple of question and answers from Jerry Jeudy today.
Yeah, well, just check in with the guy.
Just checking in.
See how he's doing.
He had a couple moments, had a couple catches this last week, had a couple more targets, had a drop or two. Well, Jerry Jeudy today was asked about Shador's consistency growing.
What have you seen of Shador? We don't really get to watch very much practice, and I know he hasn't had a first team rep yet, but what kind of development have you seen in him over these past few months?
He consistently growing.
All right.
Okay.
So that was about a 10-second question from Mary Kay and about a 2-word answer from Jay. Okay, that's just one answer, right? That's just one.
Yeah, maybe he gets wordy here at some point.
I mean, I'm sure. Jerry's a very verbose guy. He's one of the leaders in the locker room.
He wouldn't shut up talking about Dylan Gabriel.
Absolutely.
What I mean, to say about Dylan?
I mean, some have said, not me, because I don't want to get my ass beat. Some have said he could be a Gabriel gobbler. So here was another question and answer where Jerry Jeudy was talking about Shador's last drive.
On that last drive, it looked like he was the most comfortable on that last drive. Did anything change with him at all? Did he feel better? What did you pick up on watching that last drive?
Just having multiple reps.
Okay. That was the okay.
All right.
Oh, well, no. I mean, those are just
expanded
two.
Now. That was three words,
yeah,
right?
So
get multiple reps.
Maybe the next one we
it's
could
better
get
than two.
Maybe this next one where he talks about chemistry with Shador. Maybe we'll get four words.
This is going to be the one.
Is there a way to fast forward the process of trying to develop that timing and chemistry with that new guy?
No, you just need reps.
No, you just need reps.
That's five words.
Okay, we're getting there.
All right. So three questions, and I believe we've got 10 words?
Okay.
And
so,
answers?
All right, so we got one more question in this, is that right?
No, I believe those were the only three that we pulled
out. That was it. We got three questions.
This was the whole media
Jake
availability
says that was
90 seconds today.
That was the whole media availability. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, so what the problem with this is obviously we can unpack this for an hour, but
let's not.
Jerry Jeudy clearly is pissed.
Yes.
Jerry Jeudy has now become a broken man, and I'm surprised it took this long. I felt like he was toeing the company line. I felt like he was doing everything he needed to do. At 2-8, I think it might be safe to say, that Jerry Judy's been broke.
I just want to know what broke him, because the problem is there's going to be half the listening audience that goes, this is Shador's fault.
Well, it can't be Shador's fault. He's just the one that's asked there to go out there and play. And now, is the inference there that Shador, him just being asked to play, is enough then to break Jerry Jeudy? Like, what does Jerry Jeudy know that we don't?
I don't think he does.
Would Lima use this as weaponry to then suggest that Jerry Jeudy knows that this is going to go terribly and just awfully, and so that's why Jerry Jeudy is speaking the way that he's speaking?
I think you probably could have. That's a rhetorical question, right?
Yeah, that was. Yeah,
okay. Just making sure. Yeah, I mean, this is different. And Jerry has been one of the guys leading the charge, don't give up. The Kevin Stefanski has repeatedly called him one of the locker room leaders. I would say this is one of the more concerning things you've heard out of the locker room over the last 14 days.
And really, it's
lack
thereof. But this was Denver, Jerry Jeudy. That's what a couple weeks ago, it was so amazing to me. And I made such an important note of it. And we had Ashley on, who's going to join us today. And she kind of got the ball rolling on that thought process of like, man, Jerry Jeudy is just, he is giving us all sorts of info and nuggets. And he is really speaking so high of Dylan Gabriel. And I remember thinking I was gobsmacked because at a certain point, now, yes, it was year four in Denver, but at a certain point in Denver, the man just cracked and he just gave up and he just started speaking. He went online and started tweeting all these different things that got him in trouble. And every media appearance seemed like it was a problem to the point where guys like Mark Schlereth, who know that Jerry Jeudy has talent, turned on him because he got annoyed with the person more than anything. And then in the year and a half that Jerry has been here, he has been a model citizen. He has been as good as it gets, but 2-8 and then 3 wins last year. At some point you crack, and it feels like Jerry Jeudy's cracked today.
Yeah, I think the problem is
he's fed up.
I don't want to speak in absolutes because, again, we don't 100% know what was behind this. We don't know if Jerry was just having a bad day. I want to give him a lot of outs because Jerry, again, has been a solid citizen since being here, right?
Well, I mean, this is your messaging, though. Like, you make your messages through the media. Same thing we say to Stefanski all the time. Like, you get to direct what you say and how you say it. And then if you don't give us anything, guess what? We get to interpret it whatever way we want. That's part of what this is.
100% fair. But I think my point is, there's a multitude of reasons he could have handled this thing today the way he did. What I can tell you is it's way more concerning than when I hear the defense is frustrated with the offense, because Jerry is on the offensive side of the ball, and whether it's Shador, the game planning, the fact that they're losing, I don't think either Dylan or Shador solidify themselves without Jerry Jeudy. Yeah, because the reality is, like, I agree with people who think Cedric Tillman has something. I think he is an NFL wide receiver. I know he can't stay healthy, but like, he's not a number one. I don't think that's who he'll be. I think he might be closer to a 2 or a 3, a Muhammad Massaquat kind of wide receiver. So that's not bailing out a young quarterback. There's only one guy who, at his best, has put up fringe number one type stats. I don't know that he's a number one, but has at least put up that kind of stats. And it's Jerry Jeudy.
Okay,
but the idea that he is in whatever place he's in today, that's not great.
It's not great. Like, what about the 17 total yards between the Dolphins game and the Patriots game told him that he needs to fall in love with Dylan Gabriel? Was it the Jets game alone? Is that all this is? Like, oh, I got enough in the Jets game where he finally targeted me that there was some sort of glimpse of us getting on the same page? Because I got to tell you, Jerry, I think that was just fool's gold is all that was. I think more likely what was going to happen is what had been happening all season long, where the connection between you and Dylan isn't there. But, like, if anybody, like, we're excited to see what Shador can do. Defense sounded pretty excited, and all the people that spoke today. Denzel Ward was asked about Shador Sanders for the first 5 questions of their press conference today. They sounded pretty excited to see what Shador can do. It is alarming that the number one wide receiver on this offense didn't give off the impression that he's happy that this is happening. He gave off the impression that he'd rather not be doing the press conference.
So can I give you an alternative reason why we got this from Jerry?
I'd like to hear it.
Maybe he's sick of talking about an offense that completely stinks, and he's one of the faces of it.
Okay, so then he cracked. He's broke.
I think it's just you can only give the same answers for so many times without a changed result. Maybe he's just waiting for a changed result or the end of the season. Like, I think it's the same thing. Like, if you're in a committed relationship with somebody and you keep having the same fights, at some point, if the end result doesn't change, you're sick of making the same points. You're sick of the behavior not changing. Again, I don't know I would automatically say this is about Shador. I think it's just he's hearing the same questions for the last 6 weeks. Again, I'm just trying to provide a devil's advocate on why Jerry might have just been annoyed as hell today. I think maybe he's just ready for something to change on the actual football field.
I mean, it's just a little surprising to me is all.
No, you're right.
You would think this would be the day that he would come out and be like, yeah, I was real excited for Dylan. Loved what we did in the Jets game. But you know what? I'm also really excited to see what Shador can do. How about us stretching the field a little bit? I mean, is it because he knows that in the play to Larvadan had 4 snaps the entire game, and he was going to Larvadan and wasn't even thinking about Jerry Jeudy in that play? Because he had a first down play with Shador. I'm sure that Sanders is going to want to target you. You're not going to be left out of this offense, and you're going to probably have a better chance than you did with Dylan. At least you should. But that was not the energy or excitement of a guy that's like, let's get this thing going.
216-474-0092. Is Jerry Jeudy fed up with the offense? He's definitely fed up. We just don't know what he's fed up with.
I mean, you're not out there getting cardio on Sunday, Jerry. Like, this is the game. Like, this is the game where you get to go ahead and make a new connection with the new quarterback.
I think you're launching a preemptive. I wouldn't. I don't know that I would take this automatically to be about Shador.
He was so excited 2 weeks ago with Dylan Gabriel. He was over the moon.
Maybe he was overcompensating.
I don't understand it. I'm dying to find out what Ashley's take on it is, but like that's a very, very, you got one shot a week with these guys to speak and give your opinion out there, and you went three questions in a minute and a half total. Like, that's, I don't love this from Jerry.
I don't love this at all, but I think it's much more likely that it's about the offense in general than it just has anything to do with Shador versus Dylan.
But, and that might be part of it too, but it's like, this should be the time you get excited for the offense. Like me, I've been frustrated with the offense for 6 weeks now watching Dylan Gabriel play football. I'm now back to being excited about the offense. And maybe at halftime of Sunday, I'll have a different opinion on that. But like, this should be, we talk about jolts all the time. And like little messages or little things like giving up the play calling and doing things to get people a different perspective on it, to get them fired up. Like, going to Shador should get everyone in that building fired up. But
they're going to Shador because of an injury. That's not the same thing.
But Shador's still playing.
It's not like, I agree that Shador can spark the offense, meaning like hypothetically, I think he's got talent, and I think you just never know with these guys. As much as the NFL likes to say, oh, we saw that one coming, they're like Daryl Ryder, never surprised about anything.
Never surprised.
No matter what happens. So I think it's hypothetically possible. In the same way, hypothetically possible, Dylan could have done it. But also, if you're on your third quarterback and you're going into game 11, I can understand if you just don't want to sell anything anymore. Well, just ready for to be able to be like, look what happened on Sunday, that's the proof.
It's just interesting timing then. Let's put it that way. It's interesting timing because four out of the six games that Dylan Gabriel has played in, Jerry Jeudy hasn't gotten more than 25 yards in any of those games. Four out of the six. I'm not asking for a million from Jerry. He hasn't gotten more than 25. So I get if he's beaten down. But if I were him, I'd look at this like, all right, this is a different quarterback. Maybe this is a different chance and a different opportunity because the connection with Dylan Gabriel outside of that Jets game when they force-fed him passes, it's non-existent.
All right, we're going through all the possibilities. Could he just have had a bad day?
I mean, it's always on the table, but like in that same respect too, if this is the one time a week that you get to speak to us, I don't think with those type of players, I don't think any of this stuff is an accident. I just have a hard time thinking that like he had a bad day and then they just didn't want to do it and it just is what it is. That happens, sure. But the timing on this is very suspicious for him to have a bad day.
Did he just get told that Gage Larvadane is going to have to be the number one receiver because Shador knows him better?
Gage is he's got the connection with him, so Gage is going to get the opportunity.
There'd be nothing funnier if your first two receivers on Sunday were Gage Larvadane and the ball boy from back in
hey,
July.
Ball boy, you're in.
And all of a sudden, the Browns offense throws for like 400 yards. Like the ball boy is actually like Darnell Washington. He's 6'7", he's 300 pounds, but he also runs a 4.6. It's like Mike Evans meets Darnell Washington.
We just like watching Darnell Washington play.
We do like Biggins here.
He's fun. Yeah, he's
honestly
fun.
You know me, I'm pro other big fellas. He said he weighs 311.
Oh, really? I think he was listed at like 250 or something.
He is. Yeah. He was like, on the St. Brown podcast, and he said, they were like, how much do you weigh? And he's like, I can't tell you. I can't remember the last time I was weighed in. And the other St. Brown brother said, dude, you have weekly weigh-ins. And he broke. Yeah. He was like, all right, I'm 311.
Yeah.
That's insane. A tackle or a tight end that's 311, it'd probably be a better left tackle than what they got going on there. Ashley Bastock in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
On that last drive, it looked like he was the most comfortable on that last drive. Did anything change with him at all? Did he feel better? What did you pick up on watching that last drive?
Just having multiple reps.
Jerry Jeudy, quite verbose today in his media availability. To talk about that, to talk about Shador Sanders, first official NFL start. You know what Wednesday at 3:20 means? It is time for us to head out to the Fan Hotline and welcome on of Cleveland.com. Ashley Bastock. Ashley, welcome to the show. Did you notice that Jerry Jeudy was very not verbose today?
I did. You know, I definitely thought that was a weird interview. It was unlike Jerry Jeudy, who, again, is typically a guy who talks good or bad, win or lose, after every game. And it was not, I don't think, a great look, unfortunately. And look, I don't know exactly what was going on with Jerry today, if he was just having a bad day, if he didn't want to talk today. But it was not a great look to go up there and give a series of, you know, little three-word answers for just over a minute-long interview. So that was just such an odd part of this Wednesday, I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley, I you know, Nick asked me in the previous segment, like, could he just be having a bad day? And I was like, well, the timing on that is maybe. Really, but it's really peculiar if this is the day he's having a bad day.
And you know what? It's unfortunate, though, if that's all it is, because now he's brought upon himself all this speculation. And look, I mean, I've seen guys get moody if they have to wait to talk, or if they're talking and they don't want to, or if they, you know, get ready to talk and then somebody else starts talking and it like becomes a whole thing. But yeah, I definitely think it was very, very ill timing to have an interview like that today, when obviously the news of the day is Shedeur Sanders confirmed making his first NFL start on Sunday. And you have that now added to it. And look, I mean, I think Jerry has struggled also this season. I think fans have already been coming at him a little bit. And I wonder if we're going to see even more of that after that podium performance today.
So I guess with all this, we'll get to the matter at hand. Shedeur Sanders will make his first start on Sunday. What are your expectations for him in start number one?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what this is going to look like in terms of, speaking of Jerry Jeudy, how are those two going to work? And are we going to see more opportunities with Shador's hungry dogs guys? We always talk about that hungry dogs period at the end of practice. That includes a guy like Gage Larvadan, you know, Kaden Davis, they just waived. I'm curious if we're going to see him back. He's another one of those guys that Shedeur Sanders has spent a lot of time throwing. So those are receivers and pass catchers he's already comfortable with. I'm curious if we'll see more dialed up looks for a Gage Larvadan, for example. But we'll have to wait and see. And I think Tommy Rees is going.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to want to make things a bit easier for him, right? Get some short, easy completions. I think Shedeur Sanders should kind of take a step back a little bit in terms of, I know he's going to want to take some shots downfield, but I do think in this situation, like, trust your offensive coordinator to get you some of those easy looks early and go from there. I do hope as the game progresses, we see them looking downfield a bit more. And hopefully everyone has some confidence from that last drive didn't end the way it wanted, but you think about the 25-yard completion to Harold Fannin on the first play of the drive. You think about what I thought was a really well-paced placed ball to Gage Larvadan in the end zone that Awuzie ended up breaking up. There were things to build on, and there were things downfield to build on. So I hope they do some of those things early, as well as getting Malachi Corley involved, hopefully on some sort of gadget plays, the end arounds, those sort of things that we've seen actually work. You know, Kevin Stefanski for like 6 years has been trying to get these end arounds to work, and Tommy Rees and him finally found a guy who can do it. So I think all those things will help Shedeur get acclimated here on Sunday.
Did you get the impression from Shador that the game, in fact, had been slowing down as he was in it, and there's just a comfortability there now that he's seen this action, even though a lot of Browns fans would say it wasn't the right time to see him, but at least having that experience could actually benefit him now going into Sunday?
You know, I don't know if I would go as far to say as, like, the game has slowed down for him. I do think with any rookie, that's something that takes time, but I will say I thought he looked more comfortable by the time that last drive rolled around. And I think that, to me, was encouraging. You know, I asked guys about that in the locker room even after the game. And I think that part of it is so encouraging because, as we've been talking about, this is a guy who his first team reps in practice came today. Wyatt Teller said after the game he had maybe heard his cadence two or three times. Like, they really did not have a lot to work off of. And yes, it could have been better, but I also think it was encouraging some of those smaller moments that we got to see his arm, got to see his accuracy. And it also sounds like in these practices, he's made some good plays. Mary Kay Cabot, my colleague, like, reported on that over these recent days here that there are times in these practices where he threads a needle in double or even triple coverage. So those are the kind of things you want to see translate into the game. And you hope that by getting those reps this past Sunday, that he's a bit more comfortable to maybe take those chances when it matters. But look, even Shador Sanders today admitted, like, practice is very different from a game. And I think we need a larger sample size there to see really how he's handling all of that.
Ashley, we know Jerry Jeudy's mood in the locker room. Overall, like, what's the vibe as they get ready for Shador's first start?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually working on a story today talking to, you know, Gage Larbadan, Isaiah Bond, some of the other pass catchers. You know, I thought Denzel Ward had some good things to say about Shador and talking about how that quarterback change, regardless of why it happens, can kind of provide a spark, right? And especially for this defense, which I think it's unfortunate, not just in the sense that the Browns have totally wasted, like, a monster season from Myles Garrett, have wasted what I would consider to be a Super Bowl caliber defense, but it's also magnified this defense's mistakes. Like, has the defense been perfect? No, but no defense in the NFL is. But the problem is when you have an offense that can't score a touchdown, yeah, like a Mark Andrews trick play is going to be remembered. An 80-yard Carson Wentz drive is going to be remembered. You know, them not getting the offense the ball back against the Jets is going to be remembered, even though if the offense did get the ball back against the Jets, they probably wouldn't have been able to do anything. So I do get the vibe that this change is going to be some kind of spark for these guys. I mean, if only because it is something different, and sometimes different for different sake can have that effect. Like, it gives you just a different energy or, you know, some other kind of motivation to play for, even in the middle of a down year, which they're obviously fresh in the middle of right now.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the defense, and mainly just Myles Garrett, but, like, the idea that the other players around Myles, I think we entered this year thinking that Myles was going to help out Mason Graham and Isaiah McGuire and Malik Collins and all these other people. And it feels like even though Myles still gets double teamed and triple teamed, it seems like they in turn have helped out Myles in a big way.
I think they really have. And look, a prime example of that, the third sack Myles had on Sunday against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, he got that sack because of pressure Mason Graham created. He essentially, like, kept Lamar Jackson in the pocket and allowed Myles enough time to recover on that play and actually take him down. So I do think, like, to me, this is the kind of interior pressure the Browns have probably always been trying to capture, probably always been envisioning. I mean, D-tackle was such a struggling position for them for so long. They thought they had fixed it with Dalvin Tomlinson, and obviously that wasn't the case. They let Dalvin go this past offseason, and I think they finally have the profile of guys that can create that pressure. Malik Collins has really been outstanding, and I mean, he's played in this kind of system for basically his entire career, so he's used to it. I think that's helping Myles. I think also we're seeing teams game plan for Myles a little bit differently after that Patriots game, and I'm kind of fascinated by this strategy. I don't think it's necessarily the wisest strategy in basically, it's almost like an NBA strategy of they said, we'll let Miles get his, and we're not going to devote a ton of double, triple teams chips to him. Let him go one-on-one and get his sacks, and then, look, we just know this offense can't score, so if he sacks us a couple times and we got to punt the ball, like, okay, it's not the end of the world. Now, I think that takes a mobile quarterback. It takes a durable quarterback. I thought the Ravens left him one-on-one a bit more. Look, this Raiders line is not good. I'm curious if they're going to try a similar strategy and if we're going to be sitting here next Wednesday talking about another 4 or 5 sack game that Myles Garrett just had. So I think he's been helped by those two things. It's the interior pressure, and it's also in recent weeks how people have been game planning for him.
What does a win on Sunday against the Raiders mean for the Browns, and what does it mean for Shador?
That's a great question, because in the grand scheme of the season, I don't think it means much, right? You're beating another 2-8 team, but it would be nice for them to end their losing streak on the road. They're up to 13 games. That dates back to week 2 in Jacksonville last year. It's been a long time, so I think it would be nice to kind of exercise that particular demon. And for Shador Sanders, I think it'll be bigger for Shador Sanders than it would be in terms of this season and like what this season means. This season is essentially lost in terms of big picture goals, right? We know that. But a win for a rookie quarterback in his first start, that can do a lot for confidence, for development, like all of those things, those intangibles that are so important when you have a young quarterback starting. So for me, I do think it would be more for him. It would mean more for him than obviously the grand scheme of the season. And I think, unfortunately, the reality is, in terms of the bigger picture of this season and like, what does this season mean? Everything for me kind of got recalibrated after that Jets game, and losing to that Jets team the way they did after the Jets traded two of their best players away, it just kind of showed where the Browns are right now. So that's why I think it's more important for Shador than it is for bigger picture the season.
Is it the type of situation where if Shador looks good, he keeps the job, and if he looks, is it average, he loses the job?
That's a great question. Like, I'm not quite sure what that threshold is, but I think like the Browns have obviously left the door open for if he performs well to stick with him. And I think you have to, right? Like, you can't just go back to Dylan for the sake of going back to Dylan if Shador is playing well. So we'll have to wait and see. Like, does it mean he has to string some wins together? Is it more about individual stats? Is it more just about going the passing game going? That to me is unclear. And of course, they're very tight-lipped on these plans. But I do think stringing some wins together here could be really important for him in keeping that job, because you can't argue with the wins and losses if they are coming and he's not turning the football over. And I think what also is going to be key is that accuracy. You want to see that accuracy come through. That is what he does better than Dylan Gabriel, and we've seen it since the spring. That is like his elite trait. And if he can show that, and we've seen Dylan Gabriel throw some off passes, that could be a difference maker as well.
Ashley Bastock on the Fan Hotline. I'm going to give you a take, and then I want you to respond to it. I knew Dylan Gabriel was cooked as a starting quarterback in the NFL when I heard about Electrolyte Tuesday. At no point is that actually a thing. I just, your take on Electrolyte Tuesday.
Guys, what I want to say is I had the scoop on the Electrolyte Martinis, and anyone who read my Mason Graham takeout story would have known that. I had this up there a few weeks ago, and then I'm hearing about it on the broadcast on Sunday, and I'm like, oh, I wrote about this. I had the little scoop on their Electrolyte Martini night. So I'm actually going to say I disagree with you on that, because Dylan gave me the lead to that story on Mason Graham, and I loved that anecdote when he told me it. So, like, quite honestly, without that story, I wouldn't have had the same lead to my Mason Graham, you know, long 2,500-word story. So I'm going to disagree with you on the Electrolyte Martinis. I'm a big fan of them, and the color that it provided me as a reporter.
All right. Then you give me no choice here. I don't know. JP and I are married. I don't know your relationship status. What I'll say is You see somebody, you're interested in them.
They just hang out at the bar,
There's a vibe there, and then they go, hey, we're celebrating Electrolyte Tuesday.
Or even bartender.
You're going on a second date?
Yeah, you're on that date, and they say, hey, bartender, can you make me one of those Electrolyte martinis?
Yeah.
I don't know that you're like, this is the guy.
I feel like I would be into it, guys. I don't know what to tell you. It's like,
that seems
convenient.
I work out 7 days a week. I'm drinking a protein coffee right now as I talk to you. I think I could get behind it. I don't know. This is young guys in the NFL. They're working hard. They get together. This is how they bond. This is part of team camaraderie for a draft class that has been pretty good so far. So I'm a fan of it. I think you guys are just being Debbie Downers about the electrolyte martinis. I don't know. I have to disagree with you.
Ashley, I grew up in the 90s where the Cowboys had a flop house and a kilo of cocaine. That's what bonding was when I was a young man learning the football
game. You are old school in that way. That would never fly now.
Wow. Yeah, back when coaches used to just pull up chairs in their quarterbacks' houses and just kind of sit and
just watch their
drink
aquarium.
A six-pack and just see what happens. Yep. I mean, those were the days, Ashley. Yep. Those were the
days. Designated chair in the quarterback's room.
That's all it was.
Ashley, great stuff. I wish you many great Electrolyte Tuesdays for the rest of your life.
All right. Thanks, guys. Maybe we could meet up for one sometime.
Not a chance
Let's
in hell.
Do it.
No.
Let's do it.
If you want to have 8-Ball Tuesday, I'm kidding. All right. Ashley Bastock there. We're just going to end the interview. Cleveland.com on the fan hotline. That's a joke, folks.
That was out of pocket.
I'm a father, okay? Three times over. I'm a local member of a community. Not that community, not the drug community, a good community.
So they have communities too. I mean, everyone's got a community.
But not an electrolyte community.
No.
We'll react to what Ashley had to say, and maybe the best case scenario for the Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com, with us in the previous segment, as she is every single Wednesday at 3:20. John Fantic coming up in about 15 minutes. John's usually with us on Tuesday, but he's at 4. And then Ross Tucker, who is going to be on the Browns-Raiders call this weekend for CBS Sports. He'll be joining us at 5:20 today. So plan to get to. I agree with the statement that a win on Sunday means more for Shador personally than it does for the Browns, who will just then be a 3-win team. Mm-hmm. What I think is interesting is, if you really want to get to the ultimate bleep storm when it comes to Shador and the Browns, if the Browns were to win on Sunday and Shador plays reasonably well and they go back,
they go
to,
back
Dylan
to Dylan
Gabriel
yeah,
on
I know,
Monday,
I know.
Oh man, is it just going to be a great and awful week?
Well, and that's what I think is really interesting with you say reasonably well, and it's like at what spot do we have to then make it almost with an exclamation point that we're not even having that conversation on Monday? Because we've talked a lot about what the convos on Monday will be, and I do wonder if he basically replicates what Dylan did in the Minnesota game, is that enough to get him off the hook?
No.
I don't think so either. Like, I think for Shador, he's got to, as always, it feels like he's got to go that much above and beyond in order to really stamp down the approval of everyone inside that building.
It does feel like the amount, I would be curious, the amount of turnovers versus touchdowns that has to happen to what you're saying.
Because that's why I got my scouting hat on, Nick, and I'm using my eyes. It's the eyeball test weekend like you wouldn't believe.
Stefanski has had a fatwa on turnovers this year. in a way that...
Is that a what now?
A fatwa. Look it up.
No!
Nick Wilson, Olkers, dang it, bling, dang it.
We don't use
those words and knockdown parts down there. Now, that being said, he has taken turnovers personally in a way after last year that he hadn't the first couple years. Like, I think he lived with more turnovers earlier in his tenure, and he made such a point of it with Flacco and Dylan Gabriel.
Because last year broke him in many ways. When it came to turnovers, I think he left those games thinking after watching Jameis, who turns the ball over a ton, and Flacco and all those guys. Last year with Jameis, and I feel like when you lead the league in interceptions, his response to that was, if we fix that and that gets corrected, all of our mistakes will go away. And then Dylan Gabriel didn't turn the ball over, and you still had a bunch of mistakes.
Well, but I think that's like, I think that is the crux of this weekend. There's an element of Shador that occasionally you are going to have to let him go off script because that's what the kid does. Like when he can extend a play, not by, you know, turning into a 30-yard run, but he can extend his play by moving around just a little bit and allowing something to open up. Well, that's the thing that Kevin Stefanski doesn't want because it usually leads to turnovers. So I feel like usually we do the 2-1.
Yeah.
Like, for every turnover, you're going to have two scores, right? I almost wonder if even that's enough with Shador, considering, again, he's not Kevin Stefanski's prized possession the way that certainly Dylan Gabriel is.
I think it's going to be like the court ruling on porn where you know it when you see it. I think that's what it's going to be with Shador this weekend. You'll know it when you see it. We will be able to know. We won't have to go to the box score hunting. We won't have to be the box score jockeys on this one because being a box score jockey at this point just gets you an EPA that doesn't mix with PFF, that doesn't mix with passer rating,
which
that
doesn't mix with OPP. The QBR,
all this nonsense.
You know me.
I don't know that you're an OPP guy. You always talk
like a what?
You always talk about people that curse and how awkward it sounds.
Uh-huh.
You being an OPP guy?
You know me.
Yeah, no, I don't love that for you.
That
Matt,
flowed.
Can we get a ruling on this one? Did that not sound incredibly awkward?
Awkward cursor, the guy that out?
He always calls you out for that. Did the OPP thing work for Nick?
Sounded like fudge to me, bud.
Just didn't sound right, Nick.
Yeah, like you would know. Yeah. Give me Mr. Milk Toast over there. Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's not because you're wearing a white shirt, Mac. I think that's just in general.
No,
I think
not because you look like the singer from Lifehouse.
That was a generality that he's throwing in your direction.
No, it's the fact that you're very bland personality-wise.
Oh, jeez. Come
that's
on.
Mean.
Thanks,
come on,
man. When I want food recommendations, I'll go to you, too.
Oh. Ooh.
Anything else for you, too?
I think we're good.
Okay, good. So
you're saying?
No, I lost my thought now. Now I don't have it.
OPP, you know me.
So because of the different ways that we try to use metrics to evaluate these quarterbacks, and they're all so across the board messed up, I think we are, in fact, going to have to use the you know it when you see it when it comes to Shador tomorrow.
But that's
or at least
the
on
problem,
Sunday, excuse me.
Is not only are there 75 different metrics to grade either young quarterback, but people are going to weight them depending on how well they actually thought Shador played and their pre-existing thought on Shador too. There's the galaxy brain element to unless it's a definitive Peterman or full Mahomes.
But think about it. Sunday,
anything in between is going to be litigated to hell and back.
Sunday was about as bad as it got for Shador. We've talked about it. It went as poorly as it possibly could have for Shador. And even in that game, we left with how many different people, myself included, being like, well, hey, about that pass to Fannin? How about that that corner throw to Larvadan? How about the little things here and there? And so that's why I feel like box score evaluation of Shador is just not going to be able to tell the whole story. I think it's going to make, if it's not definitive one way or another, I think Monday is going to be a bloodbath with some of these conversations.
I mean, if it's more positive than negative and they win, that's not quite Mahomes. But at the same point, if it's more negative than positive and they lose, like those are kind of towards the extremes, everything in between. Like a tie and Shador has like an 89 quarterback or passer rating, and it might as well be hell on earth for us on Monday.
Welcome to Monday. Welcome to this Brown season.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah.
I love that. I'll tell you, aliens ever invade this?
You want to be the one to say welcome to Earth?
I want to be Will Smith. Welcome to Earth as an alien pops out and you just deck that alien. I won't hurt another human being. I certainly won't hurt animals.
Your first instinct is to punch the alien?
What's your first instinct?
I'm going to try
Hi,
to make
I'm
friends.
Jonathan.
I'm going to try to make friends with the alien.
That's how you
alien,
die.
If the alien came all the way to Earth, they got all the tools to dismantle me and kill me right on the spot if they want to. Friendship's got to be the best option that I have there. Going up there and trying to be like, I'm going to sucker punch an alien and hope that gets me out of it?
Yeah.
No chance. Yeah. Also, why
when I see a lion in the wild, you know what I do? I go, "Hi, kitty, kitty. Want some catnip?" That's what I do.
What you're describing is going up to the kitty and punching the kitty in the face. Maybe the kitty
just
wants to
run away.
Maybe the kitty just wants to hang out for a little bit. Maybe the kitty isn't. Maybe the kitty, in fact, is not wanting to just rip your head off. But also, we're talking aliens, not lions. You're moving the conversation
Same
here.
Premise.
No. So wait, is it one alien or you got multiple aliens on this thing? Are we a solo traveler?
We're using the
Independence Day thing.
The Independence Day, there's one guy of a myriad of them, but you're just talking one-to-one.
I'm looking for peace. I want to band up with these aliens.
When I leave
you came
the aliens,
all the way to planet Earth. I think you did a solo mission all the way to planet Earth, and then you're just going to let me just sucker punch you in the face and call that a day? No chance.
When I
that
leave alien the aliens because of my seconds. Act of dominance, and you're somehow subjugated to the aliens, we'll know how this is. When you're a puppet for the
you're
aliens, and I'm talking about the worst kind of puppet.
Weapons we've never seen that right? they have. You're going to get
when
fried.
When bleep blop and bloop blop are using you in unconscionable
they're
ways.
Press a button.
Think
boom.
Back to this moment.
Nick Wilson doesn't exist anymore.
You're just going to be like, I'm subjugated
Gone.
To you. I mean, Jonathan,
Gone.
They're under my control. What are you doing? John Fanta in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.